Welcome, everyone, to the Veterans News Hour with David Corey and Richard Hurley, a national news and talk program dedicated to military veterans issues. And now, your hosts, David Corey and Richard Hurley.
Good evening. Welcome to the Veterans News Hour for Monday, December 27th, 2021, our last show of this year. This is Air Force veteran David Corey. My usual co-host, Richard Hurley, is not able to be with us tonight, but he should be with us again next Monday. We'll look forward to him returning. I think everyone knows it's been a busy and seemingly fast year. And as we finish up this year, hopefully you've been able to relax with family and friends, and those that have been sick or lost loved ones, those who have been sick, I wish a speedy recovery, and my condolences to those that have lost loved ones this year. I want to say thank you to all our loyal listeners across the country. Richard Hurley and I do this show to help bring light to veteran issues and to bring light to the wide range of resources available to help veterans, and we welcome your feedback, and we welcome your involvement, and we thank the many guests we've had on the show this past year. In a few weeks, we will be celebrating our fifth year here on BBS Radio, and we're very proud of that and look forward to many, many years ahead. I want to remind everyone that this is a call-in show. If you'll grab a pen and paper, you want to take this number down, give us a call in the next 50 minutes or so, and share your comments, your thoughts, your questions on any veteran or veteran-related issue. Our toll-free nationwide number is 1-888-627-6008. Again, the toll-free call-in number is 1-888-627-6008. I have a lot of news and information for you all this evening. I wanted to just start with a reminder. We've had a lot of very interesting and a diverse group of guests over the past year and, you know, past 5 years. But for the past year, we've had representatives of many of the major national veteran organizations like Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America, American Legion, and many others, as well as nonprofit groups and state and even local organizations, as well as individual veterans, all sharing their perspective on veteran issues with the goal of, you know, helping others, basically. And that's what we're here for. I want to start with an item, a bit of sad news about someone who was a real champion for veterans. He's someone that we had discussed his work a couple years ago whenever there was a lot of changes going through Congress about the VA benefits of the disability programs and the appeals. And that's former U.S. Senator Johnny Isaacson of the state of Georgia. He passed away on December the 19th. The American Legion National Commander Paul Diller described Johnny Isaacson, quote, as a champion for veterans. According to the American Legion press release, Senator Isaacson's career in service began back in 1966. When he joined the Georgia Air National Guard. He served in the Guard for 6 years. And then he went on to serve in the state legislature in Georgia as a state representative and a state senator before he was elected to the U.S. House of Representatives back in 1999 in a special election that year. He was elected to the United States Senate in 2004. And of particular interest to veterans, he served on the Senate Committee on Veteran Affairs throughout his Senate career, and he was appointed the chairman in 2015, which was a time at the very start of some very major changes and very productive legislative sessions, a number of sessions there. He announced his retirement from the Senate for health reasons in 2019. The American Legion awarded him in 2016 the Distinguished Public Service Award during the organization's Washington conference. Senator Isaacson said at that time in 2016, He said some interesting things that I wanted to share with you. I'll quote what he said back in 2016. He says, in the context of political parties, he said, "No one party gets it always right and always wrong. Nobody fighting for America fights just for Democrats or just Republicans. They fight for Americans. Don't show me your party. I'm going to see to it that we can work together," unquote. And I think that's a good positive spirit there. During his time in Congress, Senator Isaacson oversaw many significant victories for the nation's veterans. And as a result of his work in January of 2021, at the beginning of this past year, the Congress passed a law called the Johnny Isaacson and the David P. Rowe, M.D. Veterans Health Care and Benefits Improvement Act of 2020. The legislation also included the Deborah Sampson Act, which clears the way for improving care for women veterans within the Veterans Health Administration. It also contained reforms to help student veterans with benefits during the pandemic and call for improvements related to burn pit exposure, an issue we've talked about many times over the last few years on this show, as well as dealing with the COVID pandemic. He was commanded, by, again, as I say, by American Legion National Commander Paul Dillard, who said, and I quote, "Thanks largely to his leadership in the Senate, the Department of Veteran Affairs underwent serious and meaningful reforms which will benefit veterans for generations. The Mission Act, accountability, and appeals modernization are all part of his legacy," unquote. Senator Isaacson was a proud member of the American Legion and a member of Post 130 in Loganville, Georgia. His personal motto was, quote, "There are two types of people in this world, friends and future friends," unquote. And that was an ideal he embodied throughout his life. President Biden wrote, and I'll quote from that, "Johnny was a proud Republican, but he put country before party and valued building consensus over political combat. I always loved Johnny's description of the only division he saw is between friends and future friends." Senator Isaacson is survived by his wife, Diane, 3 children, and 9 grandchildren. May he rest in peace, and thank him for his many years of public service and certainly for his leadership on many veteran issues over the years. Some other items of interest to veterans and their families. We've reported some previous shows, but it's certainly worth highlighting again. An outstanding organization called the National Veterans Legal Services Program, their website is nvlsp.org, wants veterans and their families to know that it has a new dedicated Burn Pits Claims Assistance Program. That's called Burn Pits, and the acronym is CAP, for Claims Assistance Program. This program marks a major expansion of the free legal representation that the National Veterans Legal Services Program has provided to veterans and their surviving family members over the last 4 decades. The Burn Pits Claims Assistance Program will assist veterans who were exposed to toxic emissions from burn pits while serving overseas by representing them on claims for disability benefits before the United States Department of Veterans Affairs. And as we've reported before, and many veterans served overseas certainly know, these open-air burn pits were located on or near military bases commonly used in Southwest Asia to dispose of assorted waste and other matter. Both the Department of Defense and the VA agree that the smoke and the fumes emitted from these burn pits contain numerous toxic chemicals. And here's a big number. Over 240,000 veterans and service members have documented their exposure in the VA's Airborne Hazards and Open Burn Pit Registry. You can find that on the VA's website, va.gov. Unfortunately, despite the VA's recognition that burn pits located on these numerous military bases emitted toxic chemicals, the VA has so far denied over 75% of the disability claims based on burn pit exposures. According to the National Veterans Legal Services Program Executive Director Paul Wright, and I quote, "The Burn Pit Claims Assistance Program is a natural extension of the NVLSP's legal expertise and tenacity in fighting for veterans and their families to ensure they receive the life-changing benefits they need and deserve," unquote. I think as we wrap up 2021 and look forward to 2022, I think we can all count on and turn to the National Veterans Legal Services Program to continue showing its leadership on protecting the rights and benefits of veterans. The NVLSP really has a solid record over the last four decades of defending the rights of veterans, especially with chronic illnesses, and that now includes due to exposure to toxic chemicals. The most recent example of their work is the case of NEHMER, that's spelled N-E-H-M-E-R, NEHMER versus United States Department of Veteran Affairs, which was a class action lawsuit brought on behalf of all Vietnam veterans and their survivors who had been or would be in the future denied VA benefits for conditions associated with Agent Orange, which was a defoliant used in Southeast Asia in the Vietnam War to kill vegetation, supposedly making it more difficult, for the enemy to hide. In this historic case, the NEHMER case, the federal court invalidated the VA's Agent Orange compensation rule and approved a consent decree requiring the VA to pay retroactive disability and death benefits. And as a result of that consent decree and then four subsequent enforcement actions, the VA has been forced to pay over $4.6 billion in VA compensation benefits to Vietnam veterans and their surviving family members. So the National Veterans Legal Services Program work on behalf of those Vietnam veterans exposed to Agent Orange really underscores the organization's expertise, their ability to tackle big issues, particularly on a class action basis, which is very powerful. If you have an individual representative, whether it's an attorney or a veteran service officer handling an individual veteran's case, that obviously can positively benefit that one veteran and his or her family. But what is really needed for efficiency and consistency and also to help expedite things are these class actions. And it takes organizations like the National Veterans Legal Services Program and others. We've reported on the work of other organizations like the Military Veterans Advocacy Organization and others that have done very impressive work. If you want to learn more about the National Veterans Legal Services Program, Burn Pits Claims Assistance Program, go to their website, which is nvlsp.org. That's the National Veterans Legal Services Program, their Burn Pits Claims Assistance Program. I will add on a personal note, if you're like me, towards the end of the year, you receive a lot of requests for donations, a lot of charitable nonprofit organizations, and those of you that work on veteran issues, or if you're a veteran, you know there are a lot of veteran organizations out there, and certainly the National Veteran Legal Services Program is one of those, and would certainly appreciate your support if you're able to do that. It is an independent nonprofit veteran service organization. It has served both active duty military personnel and veterans since 1981, so it just completed four decades. It strives to ensure that our nation honors its commitments to its 22 million veterans and active duty personnel by ensuring they have the veterans they have earned through their service to the country. They've represented veterans in lawsuits that have compelled enforcement of the law where the VA and other military services, or the military services themselves, DOD and each of the branches, where they've denied benefits to veterans that were in violation of the law. They're not asking for something that is contrary to the law. They're asking simply that the law be enforced properly. And their success in numerous lawsuits, as I say, has resulted in literally billions of dollars being awarded that the bureaucracy, whether it's the DOD or the VA, had denied. And so that's very important. Another thing that the National Veterans Legal Services Program does is they offer training for attorneys and other advocates as part of their pro bono legal help. Pro bono is a Latin term, is basically for the benefit of the public. It's free legal assistance, both for veterans and active duty personnel on these issues, particularly disability benefits, but other issues, big issues like military discharge review issues, you know, or if someone has received a derogatory service characterization upon their discharge, and perhaps there are really compelling mitigating circumstances, you know, perhaps they were suffering from post-traumatic stress, or perhaps they have some medical issue that really should have been considered. That's where the NVLSP and other organizations have played a really big role. We had one of our guests this past year, 2021, that was also very effective in these issues was Megan Brooks of the Yale Law School Veterans Legal Services Clinic. And I really have to applaud what the Yale Law School's Veterans Legal Services Clinic has done, because like the National Veterans Legal Services Program, they've really taken on some of the toughest issues, and they've done it using the power of class action lawsuits. And that includes not only military discharge issues, but a very wide range of disability compensation issues. So that's another outstanding organization. And if you have the time or the interest, go back and look at our archived podcasts for the past year, and you can listen to the interviews of our guests on these issues. All right, let's turn to some other news this evening. It's an item I've repeated in previous weeks, but it's worth repeating just to make sure maybe some of our new listeners have heard this, is since July of this year, thereabouts, the VA has been experiencing very severe problems in printing correspondence that they send out to veterans and then having that correspondence put in the mail in a timely manner. Like I say, this problem has been really severe since July, resulting in mail that a letter, for instance, from the VA, a decision letter, might be dated in October, and now, late December, the veteran is now receiving it in the mail. And it's not a problem of the United States Postal Service. It's a problem whose the root cause is that the VA relies on the government publishing office, the GPO, and a contracted with the GPO, to provide printing services for the Department of Veteran Affairs. And there were various reasons why they were experiencing delays in printing and then mailing various items of correspondence, decision letters, letters notifying veterans of how their claims are being processed, you know, that they were having an appeal hearing scheduled for a certain date. And it caused significant disruption and stress for veterans. And the VA finally, and here's the news item, finally, just about a month ago on November 30th, the VA finally issued a press release acknowledging this problem, which is the first step. But unfortunately, we're not getting any clear information about when this problem is going to be resolved. The VA does promise that they are closely monitoring the backlog of the GPO, and the VA will continue, they say, to put out you know, some new and improved process to try to make sure that veterans are receiving this correspondence and the various notices that they need to receive in a more timely manner. But this problem is, the VA over decades has had various problems with their mail and their file case management processes. That's well known. But this problem in this past year in 2021 has been really of a much more severe level, like I say, where correspondence is being delayed many weeks, and sometimes we've seen up to 2 months. So just be aware of that. What the VA suggests the veterans do, particularly they have a representative that might have access through the electronic VA databases to try to track correspondence in a more timely manner there. But a lot of veterans and a lot of representatives don't have access to that, and even though they can communicate directly with the VA, sometimes they they don't get a copy of the actual written decision for a very long period of time. So we'll see if 2022 brings some remedies to this really ridiculous problem. But in any event, let's move on to some other items of news. And this next matter, it really ties into an issue I was talking about 10 minutes ago, which is the exposure to toxic contamination in the Southwest Asia area of the world. 2021, one of the positive developments for veterans was an incremental victory. Essentially, there's still a lot more to be done on this issue. But back in August this past year, the VA started processing disability claims for three conditions, asthma, rhinitis, and sinusitis, on a presumptive basis. And that's the key term there, on a presumptive basis, based on presumed particulate matter exposures during military service in Southwest Asia and certain other areas that are set out in the rules, if those conditions manifested themselves within 10 years of a qualifying period of service. This is something we've been talking about for the last few years on this show with the various guests. Again, that toxic exposure to various things. And the list of respiratory illnesses and cancers and other illnesses goes far beyond these three. So this is just a small step, but it is a step in the right direction. So we'll applaud the VA for that. Basically, the development was that the VA had conducted various stages of an internal review process. They were to review scientific evidence and to support issuing these new rules. And they resulted in recommendations to consider the creation of these new presumptions based on the VA's evaluation of a report from the National Academies of Science, Engineering, and Medicine, as well as other evidence. So the process concluded that particulate matter pollution is associated with chronic asthma, rhinitis, and sinusitis for veterans who served in Southwest Asia Theater of Operations beginning August 2, 1990, which was the date that Iraq invaded Kuwait, which then led to the following week of deployment of U.S. forces, Operation Desert Shield, then turned into the war, Desert Storm. So from August 2nd, 1990, to the present time now, so we're talking about 31 years, or if they served in Afghanistan, Uzbekistan, Syria, or Djibouti beginning September 19th, 2001, which is the post-9/11 military actions. And the VA's review also concluded that there was sufficient evidence to presume that these veterans have been exposed to particulate matter. I've already seen a number of cases where this has been an issue for veterans, and I want to help get the word out. We've announced this on previous shows, but it's important that veterans know about this. More details on the VA.gov website. The VA Secretary, Dennis McDonough, said in a press release back in August that he had announced his intention to start this rulemaking process back on May 27th of this year to consider adding those respiratory conditions. And through that process, they reached the conclusion that they would add those three. So my personal view is I hope the VA continues that and that they add many more conditions to that, including restrictive bronchiolitis, an issue that has affected many veterans. But I also hope, this is my personal opinion, that Congress will step up, and if the VA is not acting in a relatively timely manner in this upcoming year, 2022, that Congress will do what they can do, which is they can hold hearings and they can pass bills into law without waiting for VA to take years and years, sometimes, as they will, for these regulations. So the VA has the power, but history has shown, both with Agent Orange and many of these other issues, that they're very slow. So I hope Congress in this next year does pay attention to that. The VA says that it will conduct outreach to affected veterans and survivors to inform them about the eligibility and to provide them with information on how to apply. And I know, you know, starting in August, September, the VA was sending out letters to veterans whose records already demonstrated or documented that they had one of these, one or more of these three conditions. However, as I said earlier, the VA has had significant problems with the mail being delayed. So veterans may not have been receiving these, or may not have received them yet. So that brings me to my point here. You know, go to va.gov. You can get more details about this. You can consult with free representation from any veteran service officer, from the many veteran organizations, or your county. Many counties have free veteran service officer assistance, and even state veteran departments. So there's a lot of free resources out there for veterans to reach out, because these illnesses have affected many people and have cost many people their lives, not the three necessarily on the list that I've just mentioned, but other ones. And we've been following this issue on this show since our first year on the show in 2017. You go back and listen to some of our archives in the fall of 2017, where we had guests, including Lauren Price of Veteran Warriors, who sadly passed away earlier this year. She was a Navy veteran who served in Iraq. And she passed away from service-connected conditions. And she will be greatly missed for her. She shows a difference that one person can make to help other people. But she was a guest on our show many times over the years, starting in the fall of 2017. We also had on our show Greg Lovett, who was a film director and producer, who made a documentary film called Delay, Deny, Hope You Die, which was a documentary on how the military essentially had been poisoning its service members. We're not saying intentionally, but they had done it through the way they conducted these open-air burn pits. And that documentary, you know, pictures says 1,000 words, and certainly a film can portray something that that words, that an audio cannot. So you can check out that film on the open-air burn pit issue, and it'll really give you some great visuals of what we're talking about. These burn pits were often, you know, the size of many football fields, and they were burning 24 hours a day, every day, and they would put every imaginable type of waste, garbage, all sorts of toxic substances in these pits and just dump them. And then they would pour jet fuel over them to ignite them, and they would burn. They would just burn constantly. And service members were often living very close, whether they were in tents or small mobile quarters, breathing in this stuff. And, you know, it often formed, you know, thick clouds that just sort of hang, you know, was over the terrain for long periods of time, you know, so it's a big issue, and hopefully the next year there'll be more attention by the VA and Congress. All right, let me just remind you again, if you have any questions, comments, you want to share your insights, our nationwide toll-free call-in number is 1-888-627-6008. Again, 1-888-627-6008. All right, I'd like to move on to another organization. I've talked about the National Veterans Legal Services Program. Another one that I think merits a lot of attention, we've had on our show John Wells many times over the years, and that's Military Veterans Advocacy. Their website is militaryveteransadvocacy.org, and they're hosting an end-of-year fundraiser. They could really appreciate your help. You'll get you know, a lot of results from your donations, because they really stretch the dollars in their work. They are very aggressive and have a lot of expertise in what they're doing. They focus on legislation. They go up every spring to Washington, D.C., and they educate and lobby members of Congress about many issues. They also litigate They handle a lot of cases for veterans, and including what will affect, you know, the whole class of veterans. And one of their major victories was the Blue Water Navy veterans case involving Agent Orange. But they also are involved in education. So it was legislation, litigation, and education. And their website is just an awesome resource. That's militaryveteransadvocacy.org. If you're able to donate, please do so, particularly their end-of-year fundraisers, which is ongoing right now. It'll help them be prepared to send a good, strong contingent to Washington this next spring. And one of their many projects, which has really taken off this past year, this positive development of 2021 for Military Veterans Advocacy, was their Bill of the Week project. Go to their website, militaryveteransadvocacy.org, and you click on the Projects tab at the top of their page, and then you'll see from there the drop-down menu for Bills of the Week. You know, most people aren't lawyers. Most people don't follow legislation, even though it may affect their lives directly. It may affect their benefits. So militaryveteransadvocacy.org knows that, and they make it simple for you to get informed about, you know, the dozens of bills, of proposed laws that get introduced every year. And some of them just sit in committee. They get referred to a committee, and nothing happens to them. There are no hearings for some of these bills. They never become law. But many of them do, and that's where your voice is really important. You know, people just like to take the easiest path. It's understandable. We're all busy. Military Veterans Advocacy Bill of the Week project makes it super simple for you. Again, go to militaryveteransadvocacy.org, click on the Projects tab for Bills of the Week, and every week they highlight one or more bills that are pending before the U.S. Congress. They give you a summary of that bill, and then they will give you a link that you can click on to send a message, an email, directly to your representative in the House of Representatives and your two U.S. senators. You know, you click on the link, and then it asks you for your name, your email address, and your address. So they link with your zip code to identify who your representative is. So even if you don't know who your representative is in the House of Representatives, or you don't know your two U.S. senators, they'll tell you that instantly. And I know this system works because I've done it myself. I've sent messages and I've received acknowledgments, typically by email, from my senators and from a member of Congress. Again, it's a great way. It's a very simple way. There's no point for you to have to go out and reinvent the wheel. So go to militaryveteransadvocacy.org, the Projects tab for Bills of the Week. And I think you'll be impressed by the wide range of bills there that basically deal with some of the issues we've talked about today. There's legislation, for instance, to get Congress to more effectively address this issue of the burn pit exposure, the illnesses suffered by these veterans. But there's many other ones to protect veteran benefits, veteran education, to improve the VA healthcare system, and the list goes on and on. So check that out. I think you'll find it very informative and very simple to use. So there's really no good reason, I think, if you have 15 minutes or even less than that, you could do that. Again, militaryveteransadvocacy.org. All right, got some other items of news, but I want to change the subject here first. You know, one of the positive things we like to talk about on this show are all the great resources available for veterans. One of the toughest things that someone serving in the military faces is when he or she leaves active duty to return to civilian life. It can be a tough transition. You know, a big issue is getting a job, getting a good job, a well-paying job with benefits, and really to start on a career. There are many organizations, we've highlighted some of them, including this past year. And one, I'm in the state of Florida, which has the third largest population of veterans in the country. And as you might expect, there's also a lot of military retirees. So there's a very strong pro-veteran force in the state of Florida. And that's reflected not only in county, state, and private veteran organizations, but also, you know, the State Department of Veteran Affairs and many of the projects that you'll see and laws that are passed at the state level. And one of the organizations I wanted to highlight, we've had guests on from this organization the past year, it's a nonprofit organization that was created by the state of Florida. Now, the state of Florida, like most states, has its own state-level Department of Veteran Affairs, which provides many services for veterans, including representation in cases against the federal VA for disability compensation and many other benefits. But the state legislature actually created this nonprofit called Veterans Florida, and its purpose is to help military veterans transition to civilian life and also to promote Florida's status as, you know, Florida's leaders believe is really the nation's most veteran-friendly state. Now, we may be competing with Texas in that regard, but certainly the state leaders, the governor, the state legislature, and leaders of the state Department of Veteran Affairs are all very proud of what they've done to help veterans. And Veterans Florida, their website is easy to remember. It's veteransflorida.org. I really encourage you to check that out if you live in the state of Florida. And if you don't live in the state of Florida and you want to see what a state that knows what it's doing is doing, and maybe encourage your own state to follow that example, again, go to veteransflorida.org. The website provides many powerful tools for veterans to take advantage of the benefits of living and working in this great state we call the Sunshine State. There are resources that, as I said earlier, a big challenge for some veterans is just leaving active duty and stepping into a good, high-paying job. So they have a lot of resources for that, for careers, for those that have the interest and the skills and they want to start their own business. They certainly have resources for that as well. And they have a lot of good information telling people why is Florida such a great choice, great place to live, and all the opportunities as well as the great weather we have. But let's talk. I wanted to spend a few minutes, maybe about 5 minutes of today's show, to highlight this again, because I know many of our listeners live in the state of Florida, but those that live in other states can certainly use this as a resource and say, hey, maybe our state can do all the great things Florida's doing for its veterans. Again, yes, there is the United States Department of Veteran Affairs, and they have a lot of great programs, but there are limits, and that's where these organizations like Veterans Florida steps in. Florida has a lot of jobs in the aviation, aerospace, manufacturing industry, the space and defense systems industries, also many high-tech establishments, as well as pharmaceutical and medicine manufacturing, as well as logistics and distribution types of jobs. So these are all jobs that the military veterans might find it more easy to move to when they leave active duty, as well as jobs such as in law enforcement. So veteransflorida.org, their website, they provide career assistance. It's a go-to resource for everything you need to land a career in the state of Florida. It starts with some basic things. You need help with your resume. You know, maybe you've served for 4 or 5 years on active duty, or maybe 10 or a full career of 20. You probably have not spent or needed the time to write up a resume that is really tuned to a civilian job. Well, they'll help you with that. They'll also help you with the interview preparation on knowing how to basically sell the skills that you have to make those apply to a civilian job, as well as just to get you thinking, how do you determine what your career goals are? They help with career placement services. Again, they have a significant network in the state of Florida with employers in aerospace and engineering, technology, manufacturing, and other high-growth industries that will help. And that networking is very important. They also work with Department of Defense project, the SkillBridge program, which allows active duty service members that are within 6 months of separation and retirement to gain work experience through internships, fellowships, and apprenticeships with potential employers. This SkillBridge program, participants maintain their DOD salary and benefits during the training period and can begin training upon the commander's approval. So it helps them ease their transition from active duty and connect with a DOD SkillBridge employer for this workforce training. It's a big big deal. Now, in the state of Florida, you know, agriculture is a big industry. So Veterans Florida has its own Florida Agriculture Program, which is a six-month training fellowship to provide veterans and service members comprehensive, hands-on experience to get involved in Florida's $149 billion annual agriculture industry. So, again, using the strengths that Florida has, the Florida's economy, great weather, low taxes, it's a good combination of things. Now, if you're an adventuresome type of person and you have a great idea and you want to start your own business, or you have an existing business and you want to expand it, VeteransFlorida.org also has an entrepreneurship program. And so far, their participants have launched over 500 businesses, and more than 2,300 veterans have been served by the program. And more than $124 million of revenue has been generated by the company started by these participants. So check them out, their entrepreneurship program. They have workshops. They have online courses. You know, people are busy, and with the pandemic, a lot of things are done virtual. So they have online courses to help you. They have facilitators. They have networks. Networking. They will help facilitate a startup with people that have expertise. They offer co-working space. They have just a tremendous range of resources at Veterans Florida, their entrepreneurship program. And so check them out. As I say, they've got workshops. They've got courses. They've got mentors. And the networking is so important. One of their leaders, Jeremy Sinamaki, actually, who's the director of the Veterans Employment and Training Services, he was a guest on our show. You can listen to his interview in our archive podcast from several months ago in this year. Veterans Florida also helps employers, you know, that are trying to recruit. And, you know, the thing in this economy is a lot of employers are having trouble finding skilled employees. And obviously a great resource are those that are leaving the military. They have a lot of skills. They have leadership training. They have discipline. You know, they are team players. They want to get stuff done. And Veterans Florida takes advantage of that with their program called Workforce Services. And they're helping Florida employers fill open jobs, specifically with military veteran service members, veterans, and spouses of veterans and service members. They receive literally hundreds of veteran resumes a month. They screen them, and they help match those resumes to the talent of the employers that are participating in this workforce recruiting program. So if you're an employer in the state of Florida, you can also use this program to help you find skilled, dedicated, highly disciplined employees. And again, this is a project. I've checked out the resources of the programs of some other states. And Florida's, I'm very proud to say, as someone that lives in Florida, that this is a great program, VeteransFlorida.org. So check them out. And again, like many websites, they have their resources page. They give you career opportunities in various types of industries. And, you know, the connections to help you network. So, again, a very valuable resource, and that's why I wanted to highlight it. I'm sure we'll have guests again. We've had two guests from that organization on our show in 2021, and hope they'll return this next year. All right, before I get back to some brief news, since we've got 10 minutes left in the show, I wanted to mention another pet project that we've talked about on this show, which is, this is something that affects those in the military more directly than it affects anybody else, and that is the costs of war. We had many guests on the program that have talked about the human impact, veterans that come back suffering from post-traumatic stress, suffering from severe physical disabilities, families coping with those, with the losses and the injuries, et cetera. But a few years ago, we had some guests on our program that talked about really the broader scope, the full cost of war, not just financial cost, but the full spectrum of human cost. And from that, that motivated Rich Hurley and I. We started this Stop War Today project. You can go to the website stopwar.today, and on the resources page, you can find a lot of great information that you can learn more about. The peace process. How can we resolve international conflict without going to war? Our country this past August left Afghanistan after 20 years. You know, our country had been at war, different levels that whole time. And then we had the Iraq War, and then the apparently endless global war on terror, which has expanded to many continents, and not sure when that's really going to end. But it's expensive, and, you know, the idea is let's explore some alternatives to using the military, see if we can prevent these problems or bring them to a more successful and rapid conclusion. And that's not at all to say that the military doesn't have an important role. It does. But check out the website, stopwar.today, and you'll see links to organizations like the United States Institute of Peace and its resources. They have a bookstore. They have training, including online training. They have a lot of videos. They have their own podcast. Another resource we recommended was a book called A Mighty Case Against War, What America Missed in U.S. History Class, and What We All Can Do Now by author Kathy Beckwith. It's an outstanding book. I think it ought to be read. It ought to be used in history classes in high school and college. It's very well-researched, thorough, and it basically discusses America's histories and wars, and look at it from a fresh perspective. Could those wars have been avoided? Could they have been brought to a faster conclusion? And just a new perspective on that. Our resources on Stop War Today also include links to many books, but also many other organizations. And it's not intended to be political, but it's just to show a wide range of organizations that are all trying to examine ways to promote peace and promote prosperity. There's the Carter Center, started by President and Mrs. Carter. The Carter Center, waging peace, fighting disease, and building hope is basically their motto. There's also the Ron Paul Center for Peace and Prosperity. There's the War Prevention Initiative, the organization called World Beyond War. There's Peace Action, there's antiwar.com, there's the Peace Alliance, there's the Arms Control Association, there's the Global Campaign for Peace Education, and there's an organization called Search for Common Ground. There's also the Global Network Against Weapons and Nuclear Power in Space, and the National Priorities Project, which examines the financial costs as well. So there are a lot of resources and organizations I offer for your consideration if you have the interest, because it affects everyone. It certainly affects first and foremost those that serve in uniform and their families, but it certainly affects all of society and all the world the way things have been. So I encourage you to check this out, perhaps make that something you can contribute to in 2022. All right, let's get back to a few more items of news before we wrap up this last show of 2021. As I said earlier, the open air burn pit issue is ongoing. But the development this past year in August is that asthma, rhinitis, and sinusitis are now conditions, illnesses that the VA will presume, this presumptive basis, were service-connected for veterans who served in Southwest Asia if their conditions manifest within 10 years. Go to va.gov for more information and also consult a veteran service officer or some other representative. And there are a lot of them that can provide free assistance in submitting a claim. All right. Want to wrap up with an excellent VA program that we've talked about practically every week, and that is the VA's Coaching into Care program. A lot of veterans make the transition from active duty to civilian life very successfully, but some veterans don't. They have great difficulty. They may be suffering from any number of disabilities, and it makes it really tough. So the VA has this great program called Coaching into Care. It helps veterans who are having difficulty transitioning back to civilian life, to home life. Returning home can be a tough adjustment, and family members, loved ones can help. So the Coaching into Care program offers free coaching to help family members help their veteran get the help they need. Give the VA program a call. Its toll-free number is 1-888-823-7458. Now, the Coaching into Care program by the VA, it's Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Again, 1-888-823-7458. One more time, Coaching into Care, 1-888-823-7458. Now, in addition to the VA's Coaching into Care program, there is another important program that the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs has, and that's the Veterans Crisis Line. It's for veterans in any type of crisis. It doesn't just have to be a mental health crisis, but it often does involve that. Many veterans very tragically have committed suicide because they didn't get the help they needed. There are a lot of resources out there. And the crisis line is a good starting point. Their toll-free number, which is 24/7, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, is 1-800-273-8255, and press 1. The 1-800-273-8255 is the national crisis line. The press 1 option will take you to the Veterans Crisis Line specifically, and they have a number of call centers around the country. So help veterans get the care they need. Give them that number, 1-800-273-8255, and press 1. Again, I'd like to thank all of you for listening to the Veterans News Hour. I hope you had a great year in 2021, and if you didn't, I wish you the best, and I hope that the new year, 2022, will be a better year for you and your family. We look forward to having an exciting range of guests this next year, and we do invite our listeners, if you'd like to be a guest on our show or you know someone you would like to recommend as a guest, please reach out to us. Our contact information is on our show's website, bbsradio.com/the Veterans News Hour. My email and phone number are there. You can just reach out and let me know. Also, if you're interested in advertising on our show or you'd like to be a show sponsor, we certainly welcome that and look forward to hearing from you if you're able to do that. We'd like to thank our producer at BBS Radio, Mr. Doug Newsom, for the great work he does for us. And we hope you'll tune in next week. Next week will be our first show of 2022, same time and station, which is 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 Central, 5 p.m. Mountain, and 4 p.m. Pacific Time. Until then, we hope you have a safe week, a healthy week, and a successful 2022.
Thank you for listening to the Veterans News Hour with David Corey and Richard Hurley. We hope you found this week's program very informative. Be sure to invite your friends and all the veterans you know to tune in next week, when we'll have another great show on veterans issues. Meanwhile, you can listen to our other recorded episodes on the Veterans News Hour webpage on bbsradio.com. Thanks again for listening, to the Veterans News Hour.